Now, this is weird. I have done some freaky shit.
Hey, boys, I have a headache.
That makes absolutely no goddamn sense whatsoever.
Movies in the Buff.
Welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery. We have Carl.
This is one of the reasons I don't do piercings.
And lovely Lisa.
You just saved me from the latest of a long line of terrible boyfriends. Will you please fuck me, Mr. Castle?
Oh my god, Lisa, I love you so much.
Wait till I get to my quote.
There you go. And if y'all haven't figured it out yet, tonight we'll be buffing the Punisher. Not the dominatrix that works on 45th. And I mean, I have no idea where to find a dominatrix at.
Uh-huh.
Undercover FBI agent Frank Castle is devastated when his wife and children... It seriously says children. He only had one child.
Yeah, I know.
Children are murdered after witnessing a mafia hit. Did they watch this movie?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Anyway, so...
The IMDb one isn't much better.
Oh, I don't know. So, with nothing left to lose or to live for, Castle becomes the Punisher, a one-man judge, jury, and executioner. Starring Thomas Jane, John Travolta, Rebecca Romijn, Will Patton, Laura Herring, Marcus Johnson, Samantha Mathis, and Roy Schreider, and director Jonathan Hainsley. Oh... Anyways, and we will start out today with buffing at 6 degrees, just like always. If you don't know how the game's played, just email us and ask, because honestly, I just don't want to explain it again. So this week we will have Samantha Mathis and Alan Tudyk.
Ooh.
It's a good one. It is good. And just for the record, speaking of Samantha Mathis, did you realize that this is the second movie in which she has played the love interest and John Travolta was the villain?
Really?
Yeah. The other one was one of your personal favorites.
Oh, is she the chick in Broken Arrow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, she did. She was the Eat Me, Beat Me girl.
Oh. That's right.
Yeah.
I always forget that.
She also played as Princess Daisy, but we'll all forget that part.
Trying to remember who she was in this movie.
She was his wife.
No.
Mm-hmm. She was Thomas Jane's wife.
Oh, Thomas Jane's wife. I thought you meant Castle's wife. I was looking at the name. I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I was getting my Saints and my Castles confused here.
Saints and Castles. Yeah, this is one big chess game, actually, but...
Wow, it's weird. She does not look like herself as a blonde.
She doesn't. Do you remember her in the episode of House where she tried to kill her husband by poisoning him with gold?
Again, forgot that was her.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. On to the round table. I love the animation entrance to this movie.
I actually wrote down that the music on this was so slow and subtle, it made me think I was watching The Godfather.
Kind of, and I think that was the feel they were going for. Although I do have to admit that during the entrance, when I'm seeing all the animation and the slow and kind of easy listening type music, I really expected to see a circle style camera angle and Bond walk out and shoot sideways into it and the blood drip down.
Yeah.
The one thing I hated about this movie, and they did it right off the bat, and they do it throughout the whole movie, is how every time they're anywhere, they have to say where they're at and type.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, and it wasn't that big of a deal. It didn't really take away from the movie so much, but it bothered me because it was like, is this important? Why is this important?
Eh.
You know what I mean?
It's somewhat important.
Does it matter that they're in Tampa Bay or that they're in San Francisco?
Well, though that part doesn't so much matter, but it is important, you know, when they're in Puerto Rico, and distinguishing Puerto Rico from Tampa Bay, it can be a little tricky sometimes.
No.
Okay, the scenes you see of them in Puerto Rico.
There you go.
Distinguishing Puerto Rico from Tampa Bay can be a little tricky sometimes.
Fair enough. Well, that's because, and where did that take place at? It said it in the trivia on IMDb. It wasn't in Puerto Rico. It was in somewhere in Florida.
That would not surprise me one bit. Dunedin, Florida.
Florida, yeah. And their houses were actually restrooms.
Restroom and changing rooms.
Changing rooms, yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But then, he tells him that he's going to get a 3-to-1 return on his money in this gun deal. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, when do you get a guarantee like that in an underground market?
Well, you know don't. How much you know how much you're buying them for, and you know how much you can sell them for. So
generally, yes, but
you pretty much know how much of a return you're going to get on your money. So
to me, both of these guys just seem like, you know, in a couple of weeks we were planning on doing Jay and Silent Bob. I expect to see them again.
Well, the one guy is a putz. I mean, yeah. He was
dressed by his father until he was 13. Come on.
No, not that one. The other one.
The other one's a putz. He was Mickey. Just an idiot.
Yeah, Mickey is a putz. Mm-hmm. He's the trope of the putz.
He's actually from the comics.
Yeah, but you know, he's a walking talking trope. Mm-hmm. He's that you know, putz wannabe who's right on the edges of organized crime.
Yeah.
You know, if this movie was done in New York, and, you know, about, 10 years before, that part would have been played by Joe Pesci. He's that guy.
Yeah, I could see that. Although, you know, give Joe Pesci all the crap you want. Goodfellas, he played a badass.
Yeah. Joe Pesci is an awesome guy, but it's the same character. This character would have been played by Joe Pesci. If it had been done in the 90s in New York instead of, 2004 in Florida.
Tampa Bay, Florida, yeah. And what is it with, you know, after the millennium, after 2000, all the mob movies went to Florida and, you know, Key West and all these very tropical spots instead of being the New York mobster noir type movies, you know what I mean?
I don't think it's all of them, but I think it had something to do with the whole, what was that stupid game? The Vice City syndrome.
Well, you have, prior to 2000, the only mafia-style movie that wasn't based on the Italian mafia, you know, the mm-hmm. traditional mafia, that didn't take place in some cold, damp city like New York, was you had Scarface, and that was it. And from that point, and then after 2000, you stop dealing with the Italian-based mafia, you start going to cartels. And cartels are a big thing in film right now.
Yeah, and that's because of their rise in prominence in the late 80s and 90s.
Yeah. But you know, anyway.
Movies are just catching up.
But then you get into the shootout scene. And this was...
Yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of looking at this like, did all of that really just happen? Was I not supposed to think that Thomas Jane was the Punisher?
Well, it's been so long since I'd seen this movie that I forgot where he was in this whole deal. I forgot about him being the Otto Krieg.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, all I've got to say about that is that whole fake death thing, that could have gone really bad really quickly had FBI agents been a little quicker with his trigger.
Yeah.
I have a question about him. When you first see him, he's smoking a cigarette, yada, yada, yada. He does his little, why am I seeing a new face spiel. Mm-hmm. Is it just me, or was he acting like he was gay?
Or Russian.
Yeah.
Gay, Russian.
I get that he was supposed to be Russian.
He had that kind of...
limp wrist syndrome thing.
No, it's not so much that. It's a...
it's an archetype.
A continental European, what's it called? The monosexual.
Metro?
Metrosexual, yeah, that was the word I'm looking for.
Because before they showed his face, I almost expected the FBI agent from Boondock Saints to show up.
They could be brothers, like older and younger brothers there, couldn't they?
Lisa? The word you're looking for there is symbolism.
Yeah, well, get me a decaf latte.
Oh God, I cannot wait till we do that movie.
Wait, we keep teasing the audience here with this.
No.
But anyways, we've got
we'll get it soon, guys. I promise.
I was about to say something, and we went into a Willem Dafoe spill, and I lost it. Oh, right. Information for audience in this Krieg, just a little information bubble. I'm sorry, scene. I was reading Krieg. the hair that Thomas Jane had in this scene was actually a wig. It looked like a wig. It was a wig.
It was a wig.
He is naturally a blonde, but had already dyed his hair for this part. So.
Oh.
So he was actually wearing a wig because he had already dyed his natural blonde hair black.
That didn't look so much like a wig as somebody stuck a dead animal on his head.
It was a bad wig.
Yeah, it seriously, it looked like he'd skinned the family dog and stuffed it on his head.
Speaking of the family dog, skinning the family dog, after this, you know, bang, Bobby's dead.
I thought you were going to mention one of the chicks shows up. I was like, no, that's later.
Actually, you know, the women in this movie were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really were just gorgeous. All the major women, major key roles in this movie were just gorgeous women. There is not a single one of them I would have turned down. Sorry, I'm thinking a little too hard on this now.
Stop.
Laura Herring. Laura Herring is kind of, you know, for me.
Which one, Laura Herring?
Liv Saint.
Liv Saint. Okay, now to me, I'm kind of right there with you. I still wouldn't say no, but I am kind of right there with you on that. But I have talked to people who are just completely in love with this woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I did not realize she was in Mulholland Drive, but that is her, isn't it?
However, Castle's wife.
God.
You already said her name.
Samantha Mathis.
Oh yeah. And
I just want to officially declare right now, in case she is listening, if you would please email me, Miss Mathis, I officially am proposing marriage right now. This is a big deal for me. Because I always said I was never going to do it again.
and I'll even toss a bone or two, no pun intended, to the cameo appearance by by Bobby Saint's girlfriend.
Ooh.
Who is that again?
I don't know her name. But
okay, which girlfriend?
She was the the scene where he's talking to, or where he walks out of the room, or he walks out of the into the room wearing just a towel. And his dad asks him if he's seen his mom. And he's like, she's at the movies. It's Thursday. And then the girl walks out of the room behind him and snuggles up to him.
Okay.
There were two girls in that room.
Yeah, there were two there. And there were two in our earlier scene. These two girls were the same two girls, I know for a fact. Now, I have no official verification on this, but I am fairly certain that I have heard somewhere they were porn stars that were casted in those roles.
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah, I do too. Given
good
the
God.
Files.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... They would have.
If they weren't in porn, they should be.
Okay, I realize this joke is kind of played out, and I've done this before, but I just have to give it a... okay.
Facepalm.
I'm going to do something
okay,
with my
so
palm.
So we got...
Overshare rod.
Then you find out that Castle hates his job and he's fixing to go to a London desk.
Yeah, he's retiring and going to the London desk.
Not retiring.
Think it was because he hated his job.
He's just
regardless of what he said, but I think it was because his family was so tired of moving so much.
And of him being gone undercover. And actually, the banner in the back of that scene does say happy retirement
party. I know, which is really weird because they say later that he's taking the Bureau's London desk.
I think he was retiring from undercover work.
Yeah,
and from
maybe
field
that's
work. And he was becoming a desk chief.
That makes sense. But then you find out that Bobby was Howard Saint's son.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get into the first really good scene of this movie. Thank you for that explanation scene.
Which one?
The one where Howard Saint is talking about the guy that's supposed to be protecting Bobby and all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Kill the bodyguard, because that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to Howard Saint.
Yeah, well.
This whole family, this whole, like, setup. And one thing you really have to pay attention to in this movie is that it is a comic book made into a movie. And they held very close to the original comic book feel.
Yeah, they did.
Like, the characters
were
very
involved. Well, that explains why I probably wouldn't read the comics.
This movie...
I didn't get.
I was a huge, huge fan of the Punisher comic books, actually. And even back when he was in AMS.
The Punisher is actually an unusual comic book character, particularly for Marvel. He's the one hero in the Marvel universe who routinely executes villains.
He's the one hero that was never actually a villain, or never actually a hero.
Right. And as a matter of fact, he comes into conflict with heroes more often than he has his own storyline sometimes.
Mm-hmm. In the original appearance, The Amazing Spider-Man number 129, February 1974, he was an antagonist of Spider-Man.
Yep. Because Spider-Man was trying to keep him from killing a crime boss, I believe.
No. Spider-Man was chasing the Jackal, and Spider-Man was being... what's the word I'm looking for? Was being basically a fugitive because of his vigilanteism.
Oh, that's right. And the Punisher came after him.
The Punisher was going to take him down.
That's right. I remember that.
And that's how he got started.
Ladies, if you ever need to know about any of the Marvel characters, please contact these two guys. I'm sure they know.
Please contact Rod, actually.
Yeah, I'm the comic book nerd, unfortunately. And what's really funny is I've not read a comic book probably in 8 years, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I was such a comic book nerd back in high school and junior high, like early high school, all through junior high, all through elementary school, that I still retain a lot of that knowledge. Anyway, but thank you for the explanation. My son didn't need to impress me. And I love how he kills the guy.
Yeah.
Thank you for that explanation. Boom!
Shoots him in the knees, shoots him in the shoulder, then shoots him in the head.
Mm-hmm. And then finally we get to see Samantha Mathis.
Yeah.
So hot, want to touch the hymie.
You have a beer in the fridge. Go for it.
You know, you're absolutely right about that.
And not only is, you know, Thomas Jane coming home from a long stint of being undercover, but he's also moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Well, here's the original joke I was going to use.
Mm-hmm.
Since this scene was brought up, This was a hard one.
That took me a second, actually.
Yeah.
I figured it would, but her answer was, or his answer was, this was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you went with the one you had. That was perfect.
Yeah,
but,
I helped her write that.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
But anyway, then you have his talk with his son, and it's, you find out they've been moving around and all that, which we've talked about too much already.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to the morgue, where you find out that Howard Saint dressed his son till he was 13. And this is the point in which we realize, wait, Howard Saint didn't exist in the comics, and rather than creating a new character, they created the name of a new character and made two Livia Saints.
Yeah.
And put one in charge.
And the other one made her a bimbo.
Yeah.
She was kind of a vindictive bitch, too.
Oh, she was. Big time.
Well, yeah, that's true. But There's only one time where you see her actually be a vindictive bitch. The rest of the time, it's like she's this...
Yeah,
rich
she just
bimbo.
Kind of all of a sudden becomes window dressing from that point on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But in all seriousness, you know, the way that Howard Saint talks about Bobby and mm-hmm. talks in general is the way that you would hear a woman. It's a very feminine personality. And it's like they never bothered to write a new character, a male character. They just kind of gave the female lines to John Travolta so that he would be in the movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I had a series. Let's forget the whole, you know, when you turn a comic into a movie complaints that
yeah.
you know, it's not going to be like the comic. Let's forget all of that. I just had a serious problem with this character. Not that the character was in it. I think if they'd have spent a little time on it, it would have been a great character.
Mm-hmm.
I had a problem with the way he was written. And yeah. I had an even bigger problem with the way Travolta played him.
I didn't mind Travolta so much in this one.
See, I just did not like the way he played this character. And maybe it's because I'm comparing him to other roles, and I know he can do better.
Well, and see, I've never, even, you know, for all the flack that he's got, I've never had a problem with a John Travolta role. I even thought he was fairly decent in Battlefield Earth, even though the movie wasn't all that great.
Okay. Well, hey, Lisa, we're going to have to start taking applications to replace Carl.
Why?
Because Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth as a movie was fairly terrible, I'll admit. I didn't mind John Travolta most of the time. There are a few times in there where I'm just like, really?
Mm-hmm. But, it was just, you
know, I'm sure he could have come up with worse suggestions. This is Carl.
The problem with Travolta, and this has always been my problem with Travolta, when he plays a character, he plays it so close to the line of over the top that when he does a bad one, he goes way too far over that line. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like this character, for example, the reactions, the way that he talked, it was just too far over that line, and it was completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the same thing happened with Battlefield Earth. Now, it doesn't happen often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I only watched Battlefield Earth once, and apparently it really wasn't very good because I don't remember it.
I've never been able to watch more than 20 minutes of it. Ever.
And I think the only reason I remember it is those breathing apparatuses they had in there.
Yeah. But anyway, then you get Puerto Rico. I love the Puerto Rico scenes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Number one, Samantha Mathis looks way too hot in a bikini.
Or that white dress she had.
Oh, that white dress.
Did you notice who Frank Castle's dad was?
Yes.
I can name one other show he played in.
Jaws.
Now that he was
that,
also
he was also in Sequest.
Sequest, yeah.
Yeah, he's the Sequest guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was the Sequest captain.
I'm going with Jaws.
He talked to dolphins.
Did he really?
Would you rather him talk?
Sequest.
Yes. He talked to dolphins. Ooh. And they had it so that dolphins could talk back.
Where was
he?
I
wasn't the reason I watched Sequest.
Oh, okay, here's the note that I had on that. Look out for Hitman, Witch Doctors, and Jaws.
Yeah.
But after the, you know, Bobby Saint's funeral, you find out that Olivia not only wants Castle dead, but wants his whole family dead. And I do kind of like the way that...
Is that like taking a bazooka to a fly?
Yeah. Well, I kind of like the way that, Howard Saint reacted to this one particular situation where he says, I think you need to be there so you can tell Mrs. Saint how he died.
Yeah. Oh. That was a good line.
It was. It was very good.
It was really well delivered.
Mm-hmm. Which was like the only well delivered line he had in this whole movie. But, mm-hmm. But then you have the giving of the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
With the faded out Punisher logo.
And
did you see in the trivia why they faded that out?
No, I didn't see it.
Something
and I don't read the trivia, so you might as well explain it.
Something to do with the white character logo, the traditional white character logo, I'm going to see if I can find it real quick here, was unacceptable. I had it earlier, and I should have just left it up. Carl, you sound like you're looking something up.
I am.
That's what I thought.
I was checking something.
But now I can't find it now. But it's in there somewhere. Anyway. But yeah, they ended up having to fade it out so that it would be acceptable. The MPAA tore this whole movie apart.
Yeah,
they were really
hard. I kinda get that.
I do too. And when you say you're going to make a movie about the Punisher, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
But they really did tear this movie apart. Mm. But and then you get the attack on the family reunion.
Yeah.
And that was, to me, I don't know, it was really ridiculous the way they did it. I mean, you've got, what, 6 mercenaries taking on a whole family. Mm-hmm. And then you got these two combat vets.
Both sides of the family, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, you got these two special ops combat vets looking at these incredibly rare guns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, those guns were beautiful, weren't they?
Oh yes.
Not.
What?
That's a question for later.
Okay. Oh.
I was just gonna say the guns were beautiful.
Yeah. Lisa's actually, I think, has those in one of her questions.
Oh, yeah? I'm going to fail. I remember certain things, but anyway. All I have to say is the guy kicks in the door, gets shot by the shotgun. You see the shotgun hit his chest, and I have about a quarter second delayed reaction from the shotgun hitting his chest. I'm sorry, the slug hitting his chest, and him flying across the screen.
Yeah.
That was the worst special effect ever, and that was just the budget coming into play here.
I don't know. I didn't catch that one. But
did you not?
I didn't catch that one either.
I didn't catch there being a delay.
It's right before you have the dumbest move in a gunfight ever, where the guy jumps behind the propane tanks.
In his defense, he didn't know they were there.
And it took him. It took the two people in the house behind the door frame, whatever. Mm-hmm. How long to hit that propane tank after he jumps behind it?
That is true. That it took them a while. But Carl
did, but they were also pinned down where they couldn't see out.
Yeah, they were. But Carl, your defense doesn't work. Honestly, one of the last places I'm going to hide is anywhere near a grill for that very reason. And he might not have been able to see the propane tanks, but he could see the grill.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grill was right on top.
Or at the very least, I'm not going to jump over a grill.
I do want to take this moment to point out that I just checked, and this movie, out of all the movies that we've done so far, actually has the second lowest Metacritic score.
Really?
Yep.
Now, Rod, I might go over the propane tank, but I'm not stopping there. I'm going to keep going.
All I can say about this, though, this gunfight, personally, I thought it was quite well done. I thought that, you know, a lot of the, for the budget that they had, the choreography was pretty decent. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like all other action movies, you have dumb villain syndrome.
Yeah.
Where
the guy just, you know, isn't paying attention to his surroundings.
Yeah.
And, which happens.
Yeah, I guess. But it's just like, okay.
I guarantee you they'd never be in a fight on my side.
In this gunfight.
I'd shoot him myself.
Yeah. Well, this gunfight specifically is one of those, like, overly troped out scenes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The whole scene is one huge collection of tropes. But all one thing that I thought about during this scene is you see Roy Schreider get shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him come down and he just won't die.
Right.
And he's still killing. He's in the process of bleeding out, and he's still killing. And I'm like, my first thought was, that is one badass guy. And then I get to thinking about it, I was like, well, he survived Jaws.
Yeah.
So, makes sense. but then you get the excellent chase scene, and I actually turned, and my sister was sitting in the room when I was taking my notes and everything. I turned and I said, I bet she really wishes she would have had time to disconnect that boat. About that minute, the boat flies off the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally. Well, of course, you know, she's kind of glad she didn't, because the boat was absorbing some of the incoming fire.
That's true. But I'm watching it bounce all over the place, and I'm like, man, that boat is annoying, and all of a sudden it just flies off the truck.
Yep.
But that was an awesome, awesome chase scene, I thought.
Pretty good.
With the most anticlimactic ending to any chase scene ever.
Yeah, they just run them down.
Yeah.
Don't even bother to shoot him.
Oh. And that's where you find out that Roy Schreider is still alive and still killing. And my only note on that was, I'm pretty sure this guy is as tough as Chuck Norris.
Not quite.
Close.
That would be two interesting guys to see in a movie together, though.
That would. Okay, if anybody...
Would you want to see them on the opposite sides or the same side?
Oh, no, see them on the same side.
Yeah, like, or on opposite sides. Either way would be entertaining.
I still say, did you realize that the new Expendables is holding a PG-13 rating because it's the only way Norris would have been involved?
Yeah, I kind of believe that.
Really weird, because he's been in our movies before.
Now, is he playing the villain?
I haven't heard. I know Van Damme is playing one of the villains.
Okay. Because I really want to see Chuck Norris play a villain sometime before
happened.
He dies. I know.
It's never.
He has not done a villain movie.
Uh-uh.
I know.
He's killed the villains.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you find out that the... Oh, I'm sorry. My next note on this is the docks are on fire.
Yeah. Oh, no. My note about this is why we use headshots.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Okay, just curious. I've never heard of an execution in the chest.
It's done, but...
Never heard of that. It's
it
all
should have been a headshot.
Truthfully, I think a headshot is a guaranteed way.
Yeah.
Why would you... Because the heart is so little in most places that you have to get through all that other stuff to even hit the heart.
Well, okay.
With a bullet.
I don't know why. I guess I always had it in my head that That's all, folks. A gangland execution is a tap in the back of the head because you preserve the face.
Mm. Well, not usually, but...
Well, you know what I mean. That's the idea.
I don't know if it's to preserve... the face, but I have always heard it was a tap to the back of the head.
Okay, it's reminiscent of the old...
If it's different, somebody's welcome to.
There we go.
If it's different, people are welcome to email us and let us know.
Yeah. Well, I found it very reminiscent of the old Roman kill scene.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The old honor kill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know. I personally, you know, there's no reason to not use a headshot, and there's lots of reasons to not, or there's lots of reasons for using a headshot here.
Mm-hmm.
Not the least of which is that it ends the movie.
Yeah. Ends the whole story right there. Now, I do like the fact that the explosion blew him away from the dock.
Yeah.
You know, that was great.
That was one of the things that definitely saved his life.
Yeah, because it would have burned him to death right there.
Mm-hmm.
And once again would have ended him. There were so many ways this movie could have ended in this scene alone.
Oh, yeah.
You find out about the seeds of doubt. The fact that, you know, she's... Travolta's wife is dancing with Quentin, played by Bill Patton. Excellent. Will Patton, sorry. Excellent actor.
Yes.
Amazing actor. Mm-hmm. But... You know, you have her dancing, and you have Travolta looking on and thinking, there's something about this. So, before Thomas Jane, the Punisher, Frank Castle, whatever you want to call him, before he ever even started getting his hands on it, this was already starting.
Mm. The seeds for it were already there, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
And then you find out why Thomas Jane had a beard before or since this.
Yeah.
That is the worst looking beard I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It's Hobo Punisher.
Hobo Punisher? Oh, now I want to see an entire line of Hobo G.I. Joe series.
No.
No. Hobo Marvel Heroes.
There you go.
Can you picture Hobo Wolverine?
Yes, he would look a lot like regular Wolverine right now. Have you seen the new Wolverine?
No, I haven't.
And some of the comics, oh man, it looks terrible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
At least he doesn't have mutton chops still, right?
Yeah, he does. And he's got like a half a... He's got like a douchebag fuzz going on. I mean, he looks really bad.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, then you have... My next note is actually Carl's buff quote, so I'm just going to leave that out.
I've got... giving birth to the Punisher, and then we meet the neighbors.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Who loves those guys?
You know, I liked... Bumbo, I would have liked in any other movie. I just couldn't deal with him in this one. And the really weird part is Bumbo and Dave are actually a combination of Microchip. Which is it's the character Microchip, which is actually the Punisher's sidekick, split in two.
Yeah, I kind of liked them in this. I liked the meet the neighbors thing. Uh-huh. And I just have one question about this, and it didn't come up until later in the movie. But are they actually renting these apartments, or are they squatting?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know. It never really comes up. And
no,
I,
it doesn't.
It's a lot like squatting.
Yeah, I mean, it's they could be either way.
Yeah. If they're renting them, I hope to God they're not paying very much.
Yeah, if they're renting them, I hope to God that they didn't have much of a security deposit, because...
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get into that later, because that's one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie. I want his car, modifications and all.
Yeah, the GTO?
GTO was gorgeous.
Sweet car.
Now, there were five of them made for this movie.
Yeah, and now I saw in the trivia that they used the GTO... Mm-hmm. To differentiate this from the earlier Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren,
where he's
riding a motorcycle the whole time. But if I remember correctly from what I saw watching the Marvel cartoons, doesn't the Punisher drive a GTO?
There's no specification to what car he drives. It's some kind of muscle car.
Right. He drives he has a muscle car, and then he's got a van, too.
And he's got a muscle car, a van, a motorcycle, and in later comics, a plane.
Yeah.
But he starts to become kind of like Batman after a while.
Yeah.
I know it's really weird, but he does.
Well, he funds everything he's got with money that he steals from the organized crime members he takes down. So.
Yeah. But no, the muscle car that he has in the comics, it's not very distinctive. And it doesn't have any markings or anything, and the body style is very combination. You know what I mean? And change it from comic to comic. Then you got the, I like the goofy neighbors. That was my next note. Yeah. I'm loving Bumbo and his opera.
Oh, yeah.
That was
great.
Yeah. And then Thomas Jane gives us a complete clinic on how to torture a moron.
You're supposed to be dead.
Oh, I love the torture.
Hey, that was actually a really good Mickey voice.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be dead. Anyway, I love this scene. And this is actually happened in one of the Punisher Warzone comic books.
Oh, this is actually a recreation of how he actually did torture somebody?
Mm-hmm. This actually happened in the comic.
That was hilarious, because he explains exactly to him what he's going to feel and hear and smell, and then he puts the torch to a stake and starts drawing on him with a popsicle.
Do you realize the amount of pain he actually felt right there when that popsicle hit his back?
Oh, yeah.
It's of the mind already expecting it.
Uh-huh. But can you imagine how much pain he would have actually felt?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It'd have been insane.
If I ever have the need to torture somebody, I am using that one.
And one of my favorite lines in the movie, it was not my buff quote, but right after that, or while he's explaining it, he gets to a point where he stops and isn't science fun, Mickey?
Yeah.
And that leads into my buff quote, so let's not finish it.
I'm not going to. And then you see the worst money laundering scheme ever.
Not too bad.
Filter it from bank to bank to bank. Ooh.
No, he ships it by boat to the Cayman Islands.
Uh-huh.
Where they have looser banking laws, and then, wires it back clean as a whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Do they even have banking laws?
I know, but it's so simple that these guys could have been doing it themselves and not having to go through a launderer.
Yeah. Yeah, but they, if it's, he's got ways to explain the income, whereas they would have had to set those up.
They run gambling dens. They've got ways.
Yeah.
But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's
simplistic, it's there just as it's there. You're only given just enough of an explanation of it to support the idea that this guy's laundering money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to go and make up this really elaborate scheme.
Mm-hmm. But, I agree. And this goes back to it's a comic book made into a movie, so you just have to kind of accept it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's how you do with comic books.
Yeah. And this is a, very simplistic money laundering scheme that was probably used towards the beginning before we started really cracking down on shit.
But anyway, then you have him explaining all the different family members.
Yeah, and we see Castle stalking the
yeah,
saints,
stalking them, and finding out that you know their right hand man is gay, and finding out all their problems. And I kind of actually like this scene where the Punisher becomes the voyeur. Mm-hmm. But you know, eventually it ends, and he comes out in the open, which I kind of got. You know, he wanted to make a statement, and damn, did he make a statement with that headstone.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love that. You're not going to believe this.
I think I might.
You know, when he robs that building, the people on the street just really irritated me.
Yeah. Lisa's over there. Don't try to catch it out of the air. Grab it off the ground.
Yeah. Well,
and my only response to that is, there are too many people trying to grab it off the ground. They can't bend. They don't have enough room to bend over.
Yeah, there you go. Before we even got into that, though, you know, I just have to make a point here. He approaches his old friends, and there's apparently, and we found, Carl and I found this out just before we started recording tonight, that there is this entire backstory where his friend from the FBI sold him out to the Saints that was not in the final cut of the movie. It is back in the director's cut, but we didn't actually see the director's cut. And this scene makes a whole lot more sense now.
Yeah.
He's explaining it to him. And I love it when he says, now, I don't want people to judge this show based on my belief. I am a baseball fan. And I love it when he says, I used to get upset when the Yankees won the World Series. The Yankees being my least favorite team. And those of you who are baseball fans understand what that means. But so I actually came off the couch, yes, when he says this.
But yeah, I did. I'm not a baseball fan, but I did enjoy his I used to get upset spiel.
Yeah, that was a good
right.
spiel.
What the hell would he be? What the hell would he be feeling now?
That's true. But then you go into how he funds the operation by taking on the money laundering schemes. Throwing it out the window and
stealing a suitcase full of it.
Stealing a suitcase full of it. Then you get down into the lobby with the two goons that are supposed to be protecting the operation.
How did he get up into the whatever floor it was that the money was actually there with those two goons downstairs?
He stole the key card to get into the back door.
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't catch that in the movie.
Yeah, he came in through the service entrance that they were taking the money out of.
And he didn't think to steal some of that money, too?
No, he just needed enough to make things work.
Right.
At the time.
And then he used the rest of it as a distraction so he could kill the two guards.
And I love the, I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm thinking, quick draw? Really? But do you realize how many times he gets into these quick draw competitions in this movie?
Two that I can think of.
Yeah, two
yeah,
right
I can think of
head.
Two.
That's too many for a movie like this. This is not a Western.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once, okay.
Yeah, most times, all I could think is, are we standing at the OK Corral?
Yeah, it was kind of, it didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't fit the Punisher character. Like, the character is designed to be ruthless, but he's also designed to be very stealthy. They should have never even known he was there. He shouldn't have walked right into the room, like, you know what I mean?
Well, he's the Punisher, not the Shadow.
True, but and I guess I've just spent too much time with the comic books again. But he's a very stealthy killer. They know he's coming, but they don't see him coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't remember why I put this on here at this particular point, but it's true. These villains in this movie are completely outside of reality.
Yeah.
Like, this would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
These people would not exist in reality.
And see, this is back when this is a movie from at the end of the age where comic book movies were still, you know,
comic book
kind of over. Yeah, they were over the toppy and a little too comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just before they started, you know, really getting in and really taking the meat of the comic book and making a good movie.
Well, and that's a lot of. I guess a lot of the reason why I looked on this movie this way, watching it, And I haven't seen it since it came out in 2004. But looking at it this way is because of some of the more recent comic book movies that have come out and the way that I look upon them compared to this one. So I guess this one is a little to blame.
Yeah.
If I hadn't been told this was based on a comic book, I would not have known it and just thought it was a silly movie.
Yeah. But then we get to meet Joan's boyfriend.
Yeah. Or more specifically, he gets to meet Castle.
Yeah. And find out that he should play with
Castle's fist.
I love the way he does this knife.
Yeah.
The way that he flips it around and nails him right across the bridge of the nose. I am very good with knives. I can't flip a knife like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm good with knives too and can't do it.
Oh.
Butterfly knives are the only ones that I do not know how to use correctly.
See,
I know how to use them, not correctly.
I can. I just can't do it as well as he did.
Yeah.
And apparently he trained for a long time to be able to do that. That's not special effects or anything. He's actually flipping the butterfly knife like that.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time working out and training with various weapons.
Yeah, for this. Weapons, trained with actual seals for this role. I mean, he went through a lot to do this.
Yep.
Then you have it where he starts setting up Glass and Olivia. I keep wanting to call her Olivia. Livia.
Yes, this is the Punisher, not Law and Order SVU.
Yeah. But he starts to set them up, and he gets them at the Park Barrington. No, it wasn't the Park Barrington, was it?
The Wyndham.
Yeah, Wyndham.
Yeah.
Which is really funny because the vacation packages I sell at my job now are sponsored by a resort known as the Wyndham.
Yeah. Well, Wyndham's actually a fairly popular resort, if I remember right. But anyway, and you see the diamonds that Howard Saint gives his wife and all that. You go through all of this where they start starting to get the storyline going finally. By the way, this is like an hour into the movie already.
Yeah.
And they start getting the storyline going. This is a lot of information to fit into one movie. But not long after he starts setting them up, you get to meet my very favorite character of this whole movie.
The man from Memphis?
Harry Heck.
I love that guy.
More specifically, his name in the comics and his name in the script is Harry Heck Thornton. But because of the country singing and stuff, they were afraid that he would be associated too close with actor Billy Bob Thornton. So they took his last name out of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this song. I actually now have this song on my computer currently.
Nice.
My note on that was, is the guitarist a real life singer? Good, regardless.
He is. He is a... He's a country singer. He also is an actor, and let me see if I can remember.
I'm trying to find him in the credits. I'm not finding him.
I had him earlier.
I'm not seeing Harry Heck or the man from Memphis, which is the only thing he's referred to, really.
Here he is, Mark Colley. He doesn't have a picture.
I do know that name as a singer.
Yeah, he's the guy. He played the right-hand man of the villain in Fire Down Below. Played in an episode. Oh, in the movie of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
I did not see that.
Father's Rights, Kill Switch. Oh, he was in an episode of JAG. He was an impound lot attendant.
Let's see. Trying to find his song.
Anyway, but he is a relatively successful country singer.
Yeah.
And I did not recognize him in this movie hardly at all, because that's not what he looks like.
Oh, there's the one that I know him from. Even the man in the moon is crying.
But he is moving forward. Yeah. But you know, you have him where he brings a knife to a gunfight, and just for the record, they have some.
Want Castle's switchblade.
Well, they have some very powerful switchblades, but they're not that powerful.
Yeah, well, that would have been tuned with it was tuned with a custom spring. But still, he should have gotten off that shot. Where he got stabbed, he still would have been able to make that shot.
Yeah.
As far as I know, his finger would have still twitched on the trigger, which means he would have gotten a shot off.
And this is where he loses the beloved GTO. I love that car. You know what? In this movie, the action scenes, the women, the cars, everything's a great ride.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one that I would still argue with you on.
What's that?
Liv. She just is not my type.
I would still ride her.
Have fun.
Yeah.
She's not.
She looks like she'd be sloppy. Shutting up now.
Okay, so I got a new ringtone. And then he blows up the money.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love the blowing up the money? I love it when he sees that claymore and is like toward enemy. And that look on his face, that, oh, damn, look.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But anyway, these scenes move so fast in this movie, too.
Oh, yeah, they've got to because there's so much of the movie to go through.
But you get into... Oh, sorry, I was trying to think what the next scene was. It's the one with the Toro brothers come back. And he says, leave the Cubans alone.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even Cuban, it's Honduran. And then you have the argument between Glass and Saint. And this is a weird relationship, it really was. Like, I couldn't figure out if he was working for him, if they were friends, you know what I mean?
I think he's been with him for both.
He's been with him for 20 years. Mickey goes over all this. He's been with Castle for 20 years.
You mean Saint?
He's the family consigliere, which means he's the top lieutenant and enforcer. He's their lawyer and he's their accountant.
I don't remember him saying all of that.
He's a little bit of everything.
He goes through that when he's talking about him, and that's when you're seeing the scene of Castle following him around and finding out that he's gay.
Okay.
But you were paying more attention to the visuals there because you noticed the whole thing with him being gay. And I always miss that because I'm paying attention to what Mickey's saying.
See, and that's just me. I'm always paying more attention to the visual.
Mm-hmm.
But
This time I was paying attention to what was being said because we had closed captioning on. Because I could not hear for the life of me.
And I'll just point out that Rod's tendency to pay attention more to the visual than to the audio is a direct cause of why he has an ex-wife now.
That's very, very true.
Makes more sense now.
Yep. Rod should spend much more time listening and less time looking.
The really bad part is it didn't take very long for the visual to become much worse than the audio, and knowing my ex-wife, that means a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway.
Yeah. Moving on.
Then you have the non-Thanksgiving dinner. And I enjoyed this scene, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little awkward.
This scene was his new family pretty strange, too, kind of like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But fun.
They were. They were very fun-loving people. But the weird part was it was an extremely awkward dinner. And I hate this when you go, you know, you meet new people, they invite you over for dinner or something, and they do something like this where it's like, okay, so now let's all say what we're thankful for. I don't know you people well enough to be discussing this. And I love the way he deals with that. Yeah.
Mark.
Thanks for dinner.
Thanks for dinner.
And I do like the way he dealt with that. And you know, you'll go and you'll have dinner with a family, and I'm a religious person, for those of you who don't know. But I hate when I go and I sit down with these new people to have dinner at their house. It's like, would you like to pray? No, I wouldn't. Just so you know.
And this is immediately followed up by one of my favorite scenes, which I have now eternally dubbed the please fuck me, Mr. Castle scene.
Turning down Rebecca Romijn is my note.
Yeah.
How could you turn down Rebecca Romijn?
With the blankets.
Wow. Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much for that one.
I'm not even threatening to throw something at him.
Okay.
Because she agrees with me.
So
the only way you turn Rebecca Romijn down is, you know, so that you can get at that ass.
There you go.
I could think of other uses than her ass, but let's move on.
Besides,
because the next scene is called Interesting Fight Scene.
Yeah. Is it from the Russian?
Yeah, honestly, since he's not going to get fucked by Rebecca Romijn, he's obviously going to get fucked by the Russian.
Yeah.
Or is it? Oh, yeah.
Up. Anyway, I have blown.
Poor Kevin Nash looked so gay.
He did. He looked terrible in this. And the Russian was such a messed up character, even in the comic books. In the comic books, he's known for the line, "Bullets bounce off the Russian like mosquitoes."
Well, it's such an over dramatized comic book character.
Oh, it is. It's ridiculous.
He's like straight out of the 40s pulp comics.
So this whole fight scene, you know, he's closing his head in the refrigerator. He stabs him. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Tom Jane actually really did stab Kevin Nash in this scene by accident.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
He went through the prosthetics and stabbed him.
Huh.
Ouch.
But, you know, you're getting people thrown through walls. The hot oil that got thrown in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this scene actually was much more gruesome than what they showed. The MPAA made him back off because it was just too gruesome. When he throws it in, he's supposed to start bleeding out of his eyes.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was really that bad. This fight scene just went on. And there was a point where I had to stop and just cry. I actually had to pause the movie because I could not stop laughing. And I don't know why I didn't see this last time I watched it. I was just too young. But when he hits the desk and pops the gun out, the 45,
yeah,
grabs it, and then the Russian like smashes the gun on the table. That look on his face,
yeah,
that went, yeah,
damn.
He's just looking at the barrel, going shit.
Yeah. And that right there, I just lost it. I couldn't help it. I had to pause the movie. I had to stop everything so I could just finish laughing.
Well, you realize that barrel is like a quarter to a half inch thick drop steel.
Oh, I know.
That shit is stout.
Yeah, and he just smashes
and
it.
And throughout this interspersed throughout this fight scene with the Russian, you've got the neighbors dancing to classic.
To rock opera, yeah.
And then he turns around. I love it when he turns around out of the window. And that's when they move away from the window at that point.
Yeah.
But anyway, finally the fight scene ends with him tackling him down the stairs and breaking his head.
Mm-hmm.
Literally breaking his head. His brains are spilling out on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I'd seen that wrong, but you just clarified that I hadn't.
What I want to know is how did they find him?
It was like almost immediately after they're stitching, his neighbors are stitching him up and stuff like this, and Glass shows up.
Well,
Quentin or whoever it is.
Well,
it's like, what?
Well, Glass knew where he was because the Russian knew where he was, but the question is, how did the Russian find out where he was? And I don't know that it ever addresses that.
It never did. And the same thing with Harry Heck. How did he know he was in that diner?
Yeah.
I mean, this... I don't know.
Yeah, there are bits and pieces...
to accept.
Yeah, there are bits and pieces of this that you... that they don't cover, I think, because of time. That, you know, you just have to go along with. But, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I did like the, I'm fine, he's not, and then falls flat down. I mean, complete with feet popping up and landing.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Yeah.
But, then you have where they're trying to stitch him up.
Yeah, and Rebecca Romijn actually sews a couple of stitches.
Actually sewed his body.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
She went too deep with the needle and sewed stitches into his skin instead of just into that prosthetic wound.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that hurt. And he continued to act through it. They didn't cut.
Yeah.
He acted through it.
But then you get Glass showing up, and we get to learn the true meaning of pain.
Oh, jeez.
And ow.
Okay.
Oh,
I've known people who have had, you know, their piercings ripped out, and I myself have had a similar situation to the one that he does at first, you know, the special piercing. And I don't know if either of you two have noticed the scar over my eyebrow, but that's how that happened. Football game.
I didn't notice that, but okay.
Yeah, that's how my scar over my eye happened, is I hit face first on a football game and had it ripped out.
Ow.
Yeah, that's why you take your piercing
before
playing Sandlot.
The only... I've only known one person, and the only piercing that they had ripped out was an earring in the lobe of the ear, and that person was crying from that.
You know, surprisingly,
I can imagine, you know, the nose or the lip. I can imagine those two, but that special piercing, I
see. To me, it didn't hurt all that bad. The time that I did it, it was later that it really hurt. The lip and all that would hurt immediately.
Yeah, that would. Those were the ones that I was, you know, really that I can feel that pain.
And
after this movie was over, I told Carl that is why the only piercings I will ever get is my ears.
Yeah, and that,
then piercing them.
So from now on, instead of saying it's like pulling teeth, we're just going to say it's like pulling piercings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you have...
New award.
Yeah. But then you have the Hero Rising. And I'm sorry, but that was the most cliche thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was just too cliched.
Yeah.
This was so... This scene of him coming up the elevator was so B-movie that I actually double-checked to make sure it was still Thomas Jane and not... oh, what's his name? I just blanked on it. From Evil Dead.
Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell, yeah.
Thank you. Lisa came up with that. Wow.
Yeah. I was trying to say Bruce Castle. I'm like, that's not right, but I couldn't come up with the right one. I actually had to look to make sure it was Thomas Jane and not Bruce Campbell. Because it's such a B-movie scene.
Yeah, believe it or not, I kept wanting to say Ash.
The one person who doesn't usually know the actor or actress's name came up with that one. I'm impressed.
Yeah. But then you have the paper cutter cleaver. I like that. That was very reminiscent of the comic.
Yeah, and I've just got to point out that he's racking up quite a big pile of bodies at the bottom of these stairs.
Yeah. Well, the total body count for the movie was like 45 kills.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Thomas Jane's personal body count for this movie was 45 kills.
At least, yeah.
No, I actually looked that up earlier. but then you have what makes you any different from them. They have something to lose.
Yep. And then we get around to catching the fish we baited last month, where we get the whole plan coming together.
Don't you just love it when a plan comes together?
A-Team.
A-Team?
Yeah.
Yes. Hannibal, don't you love it when a plan comes together?
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Do you realize that I've only seen like 3 episodes of A-Team and never saw the movie?
It's been forever since I saw... Well, I take that back. I watched a couple episodes on Netflix a couple of months ago, but it's been forever since I saw any of the A-Team other than that.
Wow.
I did see the movie about 2 years ago, but before that, it was more like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do like the fact that they asked Quentin here if he needed any help with underpants.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I still wanted to check that, guys.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't say it in the movie, which I think he did, that look said, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and then you had the Jim Bowie, which...
Oh, yeah, Saint telling that
about
to
the
his
knife.
Best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not... I cannot get any verification on the accuracy of that statement. So,
but it was a good story.
It was a good story.
The only problem is that you've got too much fucking furniture.
Yeah. But then he kills Glass.
It was a good scene, though.
It was a good scene. It was a good... it was very reminiscent of decent John Travolta movies. Like, he was actually starting to get decent there. And then he ruined it all with the scene where he kills his wife.
What, you mean throw Mamacita in front of the train? I thought it was throw Mama from the train. Or maybe we both got that wrong.
Okay.
But I love how he explains to his son.
Yeah, she's out of town. She took a train.
She took the train, yeah.
And then he said Quentin was wrapped up in something.
When Quentin's dying, did anybody else catch the fact that he's actually asking, why are you killing me?
Mm-hmm.
That was really weird.
Yeah. Oh, and this is one of the other things that's weird about that you guys were mentioning that was weird about Cass or Howard and Glass's relationship is that the subtext there is that you're supposed to assume or at least get the impression that Glass is in love with Howard.
Mm-hmm. I kind of caught that.
Yeah.
But okay, he throws Mamacita into the train. In front of the train. And what bothered me, though, is that train kind of came out of
nowhere. Bridge
onto
the railroad tracks with a train coming.
Yeah, but there was no train coming, and then there was one close enough that she couldn't even get away from it.
Well, he threw her off a bridge. Her legs were broken.
Well, I'm sure they probably were, but the point being made...
would have probably broke her spine.
The point being made, there was only like 20 feet from the train to her when she landed. And there was no train... I mean, you didn't even hear a train before he threw her off.
Well, I think they were near a train depot, and the train flips on its light and starts coming down the track.
Maybe. It's still just, it was a very rushed scene. And what's really funny is the original scene had her jumping off the bridge. He wasn't involved. She actually kills herself. But then they go hunting, and all I can say about the entire hunting scene is, that is a lot of Prada for a room full of men. These are the gayest
hitmen
ever.
Well, you do know that the devil wears Prada, right?
Oh, no, these are the most homosexual hitmen ever. And, okay, I'm cool with homosexuals doing any job anywhere, but let's face it, the one thing homosexuals are not are tough guys.
Well, Rod, we're discussing, organized crime members in coastal Florida in the early 2000s.
Good point.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of fancy dress there. Not necessarily gay.
This was gay.
Not so much, but...
But anyway, then the son's hair getting taller. I swear, throughout this whole movie, every scene he's in, his hair gets progressively taller. Like, by the time he dies in this movie, I'm pretty sure his hair is like 2 feet above his head.
I never really noticed that.
I never noticed it either.
Did you not? Oh, it was bugging me. I couldn't stop looking at his hair.
No, I was kind of entertained by how much he looks like the guy from The Karate Kid.
Kind of, yeah, he does.
Ralph Macchio.
Macchio, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Wow. We have mentioned Ralph Macchio and Joe Pesci in the same movie, and we're not watching My Cousin Vinny. We got to watch My Cousin Vinny now.
Anyway, it's streaming. I'm adding that to our list.
Oh, nice. But anyway, you have... what was I going to say? Oh, right. You have him strapping on all the weaponry. And my only thought during this whole part was, I'm certainly enjoying watching Rambo. Wait a minute. What am I watching again?
there's some truth to that. It
really was. Putting the mines on all the cars. I remember I was thinking I need to really record this and make it into a techno song. I was like, man, that would make a great techno song.
And, then he wires up the door and goes in and proceeds to destroy a really nice place.
No, even worse than that, before he even goes into the door, you have where they're supposed to be hunting, but they're all drinking champagne and smoking cigars, and all I can think of is... Who forgot their ball
That's
today?
Not the way you hunt.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they'd actually gone out hunting. They were getting together and...
Ah, okay.
And he was talking, and he was making the making the announcement, but they hadn't actually gone out there yet.
But yeah,
okay, how many people have actually gone hunting?
For people?
No, just hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now, have either of you been drinking before you did?
Who here has gone on a... Who here has seen a hunting camp from, anywhere?
I said before you went on the hunt. I realize you drink after.
I know quite a few hunters who drink before, during, and after.
Lisa, how many things do you know of that I do without drinking that I can't legally get away with?
And... Lisa? How many years have you lived in Arkansas and you don't know of anybody who drinks while or before hunting?
How old am I?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I have never been on a hunting trip, therefore...
That would be why.
But I also know what alcohol does to my vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a reason why most hunters come back empty.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Empty-handed, not empty balls, just for the record, guys. But, well, maybe in Arkansas.
Oh.
yes, I went there. Okay, so then you find out the champagne has some pop to it.
Hey, you went with... You'll go anywhere.
Names. Now I have to cut that out.
Sorry. You can bleep it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
You went with your ex-wife. Come on.
There we go. Okay, so...
Yeah, the champagne's got a bit of a punch.
Yeah, champagne's got some pop.
Oh, yeah.
I love the guy who sees it right as it's too late. Holy shit.
Actually, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking, I wish they could have worked this joke in there. What kind of champagne is that? Claymore, 1945. Anyway, okay, so then we proceed to play the newest installment of the greatest game ever, All Guidos Must Die. The reason I mentioned that is because my sister turns around to me at this point and goes, are these the guys from Jersey Shore?
Oh, I was about to make that joke too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's slaughter the cast of Jersey. That's what we need for the Punisher 2. Slaughter Jersey Shore gone bad.
Oh, did you, you know, a little bit of pop culture reference for a second. Did you hear Mike, the situation from the Jersey Shore, has just been checked into rehab for exhaustion?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
To get rehab from exhaustion?
Yeah. But anyway, okay, so why do they always...
Right, okay. Oh.
I did hear that Snooki is actually going to be in the sixth season while being severely pregnant.
Yeah, that's, you know, the most intelligent thing ever. But, you know, and it's a guilty pleasure of mine. I do like watching the show just simply because of the stupidity.
I avoided it at all costs. I just managed to pick up bits and pieces because I know people who watch it other than Rod.
Yeah, I do actually kind of enjoy it just because, you know, I like watching the stupidity and be like, no one would ever do that. But anyway, onward. We have... Oh, killing is an afterthought. Sorry, it took me... As he's walking out of the room, he just shoots the guy from behind.
Yeah.
Without even looking at him. It's...
Is that just me, or is that a trope?
A little bit. Yeah, it's done a lot.
It's more like just a cliche rather than a trope. But, yeah. But then, one of my favorite kills in this entire movie...
Give her 10 isometrics.
Yeah, I put the extreme isometrics.
Yeah.
Oh, and then
that's a very inventive way to kill somebody, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love later, like a little bit later when he's chasing Saint, and Saint's like, he's like, you killed my family, you killed my son, and then you hear the kid from the penthouse, boom,
both of them.
And then we have the next quick draw.
Yeah, I know, which was
ridiculous. Yeah, and that was even more of the OK Corral scene.
Am I mistaken, or did he actually holster his gun to do that scene?
He did. He holstered it.
And did he do that the first time, too, or not? Because I can't remember if he did it the first time.
The first time he walked into the room, it was already in the holster. But it did clearly show the holster. This time, he actually did holster his gun just so that he could draw it.
Yeah.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then you have...
I do love how he actually gets the kill, though.
Well, I like how he reveals the whole plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the very beginning, he reveals it all to him right there. Mm-hmm. And then my next note is he's got chills. They're multiplying.
Oh,
I couldn't help it.
And I've heard... I've gotten a spoiler about the upcoming Rod's rant, so that's even more groan-worthy now.
Yeah, well, anyway, then he kill hauls him into the Punisher explosions.
Yep.
Which I actually kind of liked. It is cliche as the, you know, flaming symbol was, and it's definitely very Crow reminiscent. It's still...
And used again in Daredevil. It was used to good effect in Daredevil. I like the way they did it there.
It's used to good effect in any movie it's ever done, but it's still overdone.
Well, you remember the first time you see it done in Daredevil, don't you?
Mm-mm.
They're standing there on the subway platform, and the guy's like, "What is this? Somebody got a lighter?"
Oh, right. Or that. But it's just kind of cliche.
Yeah, it is, but it was well done.
And all I can
it was really well done here.
All I can say is finally in this movie they blow up the crappy cars.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blowing up these nice cars all movie. Finally they blow up the crappy cars. And that's something that's done in like every movie. They destroy these cars that I would give my left nut for.
Well, you realize that, you know, with the exception of the cars used in the chase scene in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. every car in this movie that you saw was an awesome car.
Mm-hmm. Up until they go through the scrapyard. And all I want to know is why are there are all these scrap cars outside of this nightclub?
Those weren't scrap cars.
Okay.
That was a parking lot.
Maybe so. Mm-hmm. But if you actually look at the cars, there's no windshield, no headlights. Some of them didn't actually have wheels on them. You have to look real close at it to see this.
Yeah. It was supposed to be the parking lot for the
club.
For the club. But
not as they just ran out of money.
Well, they didn't want to destroy that many good cars, so they used scrap.
Yeah. But anyway, then you have where Wild Turkey never made for a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Wild Turkey does not make for a good time, people.
And my very last note is, I left you guys a present.
I have a Why Not Sleep with Becca?
Yeah.
He should have. He should have.
Again, with the Please Sleep With Me, Mr. Castle.
Yeah, and then you have, Read Your Paper Every Day. What section? Mm-hmm. Obituaries. Could you be any more cheesy?
That's kind of a duh.
Yeah, kind of cheesy.
That was cheesy. And it's like when they bring Dave home from the hospital, which was kind of cool, and... my actual note about this when they're going into Castle's apartment is she came in through the bathroom window, or she really comes through a hole in the wall.
you just want Rebecca Romaine on the other side of the hole in the wall.
I just want her to come through my bathroom window, but that's beside the point. You can interpret it later, Carl.
I was going to say, which way are we exact? Which definition for all those words are we supposed to use there?
Okay, do you remember my joke when I was introducing the movie?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, I'm going down to 45th Street after this.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have stacks of cash. Call me done. I don't even know what that means. But I do like the animations in the beginning and end of this film, and I love the soundtrack.
Yeah, well, the ending song was meh for me, but it was very, mid-early 2000s.
It was. It was while I was in high school. But it was Seether and Amy Lee.
Yeah, I didn't much care for the very beginning of it. I clicked it off because it was too loud compared to, having to turn everything else up to hear it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so. I like it because earlier in the movie, Rebecca Romaine's actually listening to the song while she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it when movies do that, where they work the, actual soundtrack in to the movie rather than playing it over the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's actually worked in, like, coming out of a stereo in the movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and that's our roundtable of The Punisher. Moving on to buff quotes. Lisa, would you like to start us off?
You are not a nice person.
No, I'm not. Anyway. Okay, Carl.
God's going to sit this one out.
You know... one of these days, you're going to have to go with a line that's not blasphemous from a movie. Because one of these days, we're going to find a movie that doesn't have a blasphemous line in it.
Yeah, good and luck. It won't be on our show list.
Okay, so I guess...
And for the record, not all of my lines have been blasphemous. Only the last several.
Yeah.
Truthfully, Rod, Carl and I had an argument over that quote.
Yeah, she was going to take it first, and then she gave it to me because I said I wanted it.
That's what he was telling me before we started recording. I'm just glad that I got you over Skype, and I'm not sitting next to you when the lightning bolt comes in. Okay, my turn. We just made your bail. Now, if I wanted to kill you, I'd have left you in jail where we have friends, and in some way I can only describe as deeply pornographic, you would have been killed. But you're small time, and I don't want the karma of your death on my soul. How was that?
That was a really good line.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
It was. And I love the way that Will Patton delivered it.
Mm-hmm. Will Patton always delivers every line perfectly.
He is a buttoner. Mm-hmm. Like, he puts the button on those scenes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And ties them up. Okay, best buffed. Carl, you want to start us out? I'm going to have to come back to you again.
Yeah, come back to me again.
Okay, Lisa?
best way to torture somebody.
Yeah, I gotta go with that. I gotta agree with that one.
So are we calling this our torture porn award?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't get the torture porn award, but it does get the most inventive torture.
I will give it that it does get the most inventive, not the torture porn.
Okay. So.
I'm also giving best use of cars.
This is the
overhead shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So far, if you want my personal best use of cars ever, would be Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the best use of cars ever.
Yeah, I haven't watched that, so.
Really? Oh, man. She needs, Carl, you really need to get her setting out to that one. Okay.
Also, best use of diamonds.
Oh, God. Those were valued in at $1 million a piece. And I said
for each ring, right? Not for the set?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Let me... Crap. I cannot remember the name of the brand now.
She says it too. It's H.
I said it earlier.
Yeah, I know you did.
Recording.
It's freaking famous too. I recognized the name when she said it.
Oh yeah, it's a very famous brand, and I cannot. Oh, here's an interesting note. The original film with no edits or cuts clocked 2 hours and 56 minutes.
Wow.
That is a long movie.
As opposed to the final cut, which was 2 hours and 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm looking. I know it's on here.
Oh, here it is. Harry Winston.
Harry Winston,
Diamonds, valued at $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
They are not props. They are actual Harry Winston diamonds in the show.
Yep.
Jeez. Oh, no, it's $1 million for the set.
Oh, this is interesting.
Hmm.
I didn't know that Thomas Jane originally turned this role down twice, as well as turning down a part in X-Men because he didn't see himself as a superhero actor. He only became interested in doing the movie after the second time they asked him to play him, and he turned him down, and then he saw Timothy Bradstreet's artwork for the character and decided he wanted to do it.
Fair enough. Okay, Carl.
My best buff is over.
Yeah, are you ready for your best buffed?
Yeah, I'm going to give this one... this is actually going to get a Vengeance Award for me.
Really?
This is how you do some... it's not the best Vengeance I've ever seen in a movie, but it's got some good ones.
Hey, he specifically says that what he does is not Vengeance.
Yeah.
It's punishment.
Although it kind of is.
It is. It is Vengeance.
And ugliest blonde wig ever.
Yeah. Oh, didn't you already do an ugliest wig award?
That is almost hit the ugliest hat award.
Yeah, I don't remember if I've ever done an ugliest wig award, and I don't remember if I said this at the beginning of this episode or if it was in pre-show, but I swear to God, it looks like somebody skinned the family dog
and stuck it
on his head.
It really did. Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to have to go with Princess Stupid Hat Award. For his wig.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Moving on.
Is it worse than Jocelyn's hat from?
No.
It's not worse.
No.
It's about the same.
Oh God! Now I'm seeing the hat on top of
that wig.
Oh my God!
Well, what's really funny is I was picturing the wig on top of the hat on top of Jocelyn.
Oh jeez.
Ooh.
Anyway, okay, I know where I've seen that wig before. Did y'all ever watch the show Fraggle Rock?
No.
You never watched it?
I did.
You did? You remember their hair?
Yeah.
That's where I've seen that before.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, time for my best buffed. I gave this the best comic book in film award.
No.
There's a reason I gave it this.
Please explain it.
Okay. At the time it was made, maybe.
Well, not only at the time it was made, but because it was a very well adapted comic book to film.
Mm.
Rather than, it's not the best film based on a comic book, but it is possibly the best and closest adaptation I've seen so far.
Oof, I don't know about that one. That's up against some stiff competition recently.
Yeah, but name one that was very well adapted. Not good movie, but well adapted.
See, I've heard Captain America was, but I haven't seen it yet.
It was decent. I actually it was decent, but it wasn't as good as this. Yeah, literally, this almost did not change at all from the comic books. The only thing that changed was the character that John Travolta played. That was the only difference from the movie and the comic books. Which is why I say this is the best adaptation.
It's probably closest to its source, but I don't know that I'd go with best adaptation.
Anyway. But then I also gave the John Travolta death scene to repeating the Crow Award. Because of the overplayed flaming symbol scene.
I don't know. It's only counts as overplayed if it's overdone. And I think it's used to good effect every time we see it.
Fair enough.
Now, granted, Daredevil probably overused a little bit because I think it shows up about 5 or 6 times there.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Whereas in The Crow, it shows up a couple of times, but it's always showed up really well done.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, obviously Carl disagrees with both of my best buffs, but that's okay. onward into Were You Playing With Your Willy, where we ask each other questions to decide who was watching the movie and who was playing with their Willy. Carl, you want to start us off?
Yes. And Rod, you can just go ahead and get your I hate yous out of the way right now.
Okay, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, you dumb son of a bitch. Why am I hating you?
Because of my question. At the end of the chase scene in Puerto Rico, which side of the car does the Bronco land on after it flips?
Oh, you asshole. Left, driver's side.
Actually, I'm going to go with the passenger side.
Rod's right. It's driver's side.
I only know that because we were actually looking at the hood.
Yeah. Okay, and my other question for you guys. After that crash, or in that crash, Frank Castle's son breaks his arm. Which arm does he break?
I'll say right arm, only because I honestly don't remember.
I'm going with left arm.
It was his right forearm.
Wow!
He was holding it like this, though.
He was holding his right arm with his left hand. He broke his right forearm. He's like, my arm, I think it's broken. Although, you know, he crawls out by putting his weight on both hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he starts holding it like this.
Okay.
I could have swore he was holding it with his left arm over his chest.
Yeah, he had it up on his chest like this, holding his right wrist with his left hand.
Okay, for the record, to our audience, I also have dyslexia.
All right, well, I'm 2 up, and I also have 2 points.
Overshare on the 2 up.
Lisa, would you like to ask your questions?
How many bombs did you actually see him put up when he goes after the adult saint? The male.
9
to 5, total. Counting the son, I think.
Oh, I didn't count the son. I'm going to go with 10.
You are both wrong.
Oh.
8.
Okay.
Okay.
So next one. Rather...
How many piercings did they pull out of Dave?
That you 5. Actually see, or that as a result?
As a result.
5.
3, 4. Yeah, 5.
You're both right. It's 5.
It's his. He answered it first. I didn't know, because you actually only see him pull 3. Mm-hmm. But at
no, you point, only ever you actually only see him pull 2. 1.
2. The one out of his nose.
I don't think you see that. He's pulling on it, or he's going, but he doesn't actually pull it out.
And then he goes and pulls that one, and then it goes to Frank Castle. But you hear him screaming a lot.
So the score right now is 2 me, Carl 1. It's my turn. What was the name of the fuel dock in Puerto Rico? The one that he was blown up on.
I'm going to go with Sam's Gas and Go. I really don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember either.
Playa Sin Nombre Fuel Dock.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a huge sign right there on the dock. I was, like, terrified to use that question.
Yeah, I remember the sign. I just never read it.
I remember the sign, but I didn't, first off, didn't understand the first word. Second off, blanked on the second word.
What was the witch doctor's name that saved him?
Candelaria.
I don't remember.
Manuel. Candelaria is a title.
Oh, okay.
His name was Manuel, and the only time it's ever said is Roy Schreider says it.
Yeah.
Earlier.
The only reason I actually figured that was the guy waved at Castle before his family died. So I was wondering if they knew each other.
Mm. Oh, it says they knew each other.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I never mentioned that note.
Yeah. So, moving on. Time for audience questions. We're sending in the answer in. I'm sorry, being the first person to send the answer in to inthebufffilms@gmail.com will get your name mentioned in our show.
And for the record, any person who sends in answers will get their name on the show.
With exception of our three hosts.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think we've gotten any from we shouldn't have gotten any from last week because I posted it yesterday.
Exactly. Okay, so, Lisa, would you like to start off with your audience question?
I think I will go with the one that Rod would hate. Which arm did the second brother have pinned?
I almost went with that. Uh-huh. And, I'm going to go with one from the same scene. Because the other one I had was too easy.
Uh-huh.
And Rod already mentioned part of it. How much does the anti-personnel mine weigh?
I remember that now. Okay. And my question, even though we've already said it in the in our episode, I'm still going to go ahead and use it just to see how many people were paying attention either to the movie or to us. What was Thomas Jane's first character's name in this movie?
Mm.
The first name he was called by.
Okay.
That'll move us on.
Do we want to give the audience a bonus question since I already mentioned that I had this question?
Sure, why not? We'll give them a couple bonus. What else did you have?
What was the actual brand of gun the father was showing Frank Castle?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't actually know that one.
Yes, you do. You and I mentioned it in pre-show.
I remember and mentioning it, but I don't know.
My alternate question is, what does the text on the front of a Claymore mine say?
I said that
earlier.
Yeah,
I actually had to ask.
You said part of it earlier. You didn't say all of it.
Huh.
I'll tell you in post.
Okay.
And I'll tell you also both of mine, Rod.
Hmm.
Later.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, and my alternate question is, are there any hot women in the audience that want to go out with me?
Email your answers to inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any response that comes with a tasteful and yet partially nude photo will get a personal response from Rod.
Exactly. Okay, mental debuff.
Regardless of what your name happens to be.
Well, with the exception
or gender.
Did you specify gender? Gender.
No. Carl.
Uh-huh.
Regardless as to whether or not they are ginger.
Oh.
Pay attention here. Okay. Anyway, mental debuff time. Carl, would you like to start?
This is what you get for fucking over or for slaughtering an entire guy's family at a family reunion in Puerto Rico and ruining a really good time and some really hot sex on the beach.
Mm.
And for the record, I'd like to.
Or without.
Yeah, for the record, going back to that scene, I'll take the hot sex on the beach.
With alcohol or without.
Either.
There is a outdoor sex on the beach.
Yeah.
And
with her, it wouldn't take any alcohol, and I'd actually want to do it sober so I'd remember every moment.
Yes.
Now I'm going to throw something at you.
So yeah, speaking of that, I've got a buddy, and we all know and love him. who recently woke up with three beautiful nude women and couldn't remember a damn thing he did the night before. I felt so bad for him.
Poor.
No, it wasn't him. It was the other one that starts with a B. We won't say his name on the air right now. Anyway, Lisa, mental debuff.
Okay, I agree that this is what happens when you kill somebody's entire family. But it was kind of out there.
Mm.
I mentioned this earlier. I thought it was a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind watching it the first time, and I didn't mind taking notes on it this time, but I will probably never watch it again.
You're not much
and
of the
there you go.
Yeah, you're not much of the comic book movie fan, are you?
That depends on the comic.
Fair enough. With exception of X-Men, because who didn't love the X-Men?
Also, again, still depends on the movie, on the comic. There has been other comic books movies that I've watched that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
What was the guy? Iron Man.
Mm. I hated
those. Those movies.
I hated those. Of course, I've always hated the Iron Man character. Even in the comics, I didn't like the character. But anyway, okay. Guess what time it is? Now it's time for Rod's Rants.
Rod's Rants.
It's time for... Okay. I really need a jingle for this. But, okay. John Travolta, what the hell, man? This man can be so amazing, and yet he can make the worst smelling shit that ever fell from Rosie O'Donnell's mouth. By the way, happy birthday, Rosie. And I've given a lot of crap to John Woo, but The Punisher was a comic book made to be turned into a Woo movie. Thomas Jane made a much better Punisher than Dolph Lundgren, I'll give him that. But seriously, when Rebecca Romijn is on her knees, you don't say no thank you. You drop your horse meat and say, please ma'am, can I have some more? Everybody gives this movie shit because it didn't stay true to the comic. Were you fucking watching? These characters could only exist in a comic. Still, everything about this movie ranged from acceptable to pretty good, except for Johnny T-Bird's acting. You failed so badly, I had to write a little song for you. Go, Tom Jane, you're burning up my family line. Keep shooting, oh, keep shooting. Go, Tom Jane, you're breaking Kevin Nash's mind. It's really bloody, my God, it's really bloody. You are so mean, Romaine will cream for Tom Jane.
Oh my God. Again, I will repeat what I said earlier. Facepalm.
Come on, that one was pretty good.
I just say that you have just now proven to the internet at large and every subscriber we have that there's a reason I write the parodies.
Oh, come on. Romaine will scream.
Some of that was good.
Or Romaine will scream. Yeah. Breaking Kevin Nash's mind. Come on, those are some classic lyrics. Anyway, okay, so moving on into our like and dislike. Carl, did this movie make you hard or flaccid?
I'm going to give this movie a very slightly chubby.
Okay.
And no, I'm not talking about Rebecca Romijn's ass.
Oh. Bang.
Right.
Okay, so Lisa, wet or frigid?
Frigid.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. And for me, with the exception of Travolta's character, which made me cover my asshole out of fear, the movie made me hard. So combine it all together, I'd say I'm hanging at half staff.
That's what she said.
Giggity.
Isn't that what they all say?
Okay, so...
That's what they all think when they say it.
See? Anyway, tune in next week when we'll be joined by special guest host Rob Wynn, a.k.a. Autograph Cat, from Initiative Check and Tadpoolery, while we review the culmination...
Doing Serenity.
Oh, take my whole like line away there. We'll be reviewing
yes.
culmination brainchild of the film God that is Joss Whedon, known as Serenity. So until then, keep watching those movies in the buff. It's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Night.
Good night.
Hello, Buffers. It's your favorite host. I'm taking a second to let you know you can find us on Facebook and Google+, and have some absolutely naughty conversations with your other buffers. And as always, if you need to talk or flirt with our team of debauchery, you can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com. That's 3 F's. Trust me, we love to talk to our fans, especially the good-looking ones. Movies in the Buff was recorded with Creative Commons, Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 U.S. License.